We have a little bit of a late start this morning due to some technical difficulties with getting their presentation up on the screens, but it's good now that we can get started. Just a quick word of introduction for Shane and Kim Jones and their daughter Maris. It's a joy to have you back with us. As all of you know, Shane and Kim headed out to Ephraim, Utah with their family a few years back to be part of Tri-Grace Ministries. And this morning they're going to come and share with us an update and to help challenge us in some opportunities that lie out ahead of us. A quick word about their start. You know, when they were here, before we handed the baton to them to go, and I think we literally gave you a baton that was represented, the passing of that baton to go and make disciples for Jesus Christ, they were running well. And it made me think of track. How that when you're in a relay, you don't just stand and wait for the baton and say, hey, I want to turn. Give me a turn. You actually get the call, the go, and you take off and then reach. You reach back for that baton and you just take it and you keep running. And that, what a wonderful testimony you guys have been of taking off, receiving the baton and then running well. And we just thank God for how you've run well. And we pray that you continue to run well in the course that God has given you to run. So now Shane and Kim, come and share with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys? I need to back up. We are not technically challenged. I am technically challenged, as you can see. So we're going to get moving through this. We are the Joneses. We live in central Utah. I am Shane. This is my lovely wife, Kim. This is Maris. Say hi. And you see our son, Keegan, he is a sophomore in college, and he is back in Ephraim right now. So this is the Jones clan. Thank you, Maris. A couple of things, housekeeping.
Actually, let me go back. This is so cool, if I can make it work. Oh, wrong way. Okay.
Couple housekeeping things. We are going to change our newsletter. We have found out that our newsletter has gotten really long with our entire group. So in the months to come, if you get our newsletter, it's going to change. It's going to be us individually, the Joneses, and then the other people in the ministry are going to be doing theirs as well. So we're going to pass around a clipboard. Anybody that does not have our newsletter, get our newsletter through email. You can sign up for that. Be very clear in your writing. So we go through this every time we go somewhere and speak, or someone in the ministry speaks. You know, you get these chicken scratches on there, you know, Reformed Egyptian or whatever, and it's hard to see. So some of you got that. Okay, we good there?
We've got something we need to give to our ABF.
Is Steve Kester in here? Is Steve in here? Steve Kester?
Is there a representative from
the Kester ABF? Yep, there he is. Okay, Steve, we have a gift that we would like to give. Our ABF has supported us, and we found this missionary. This is Elder Blonde. And he is... it'd be a good addition for, you know,
the room. Good decor.
We appreciate that. Well, we appreciate you guys allowing us to speak. We want to recognize a few people. Tom and Jane Wagner, if you would stand up. Sean Jones, are you here? Holly, Alex, Betsy. I don't know if any of you guys know these people, but these are our family. Tom and Jane is obviously Kim's mom and dad, and a couple of my nieces, and that scallywag brother of mine doesn't look like he's here, so That's okay. But hey, thank you guys for coming. But just so you guys have an idea of our, you know, blood family that's here outside of you guys, we appreciate them.
So. Without their support, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So we appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
So this is our son, Keegan. He looks a little different from the last time you saw him. He's 21 years old, and he attended Moody Bible Institute for 2 years in biblical studies and international ministry until this year, when he surprisingly chose our ministry for his Moody internship. When he left Utah for college, honestly, I can say we never imagined that he would ever come back. He turned tail and ran. Utah and Keegan didn't really mix very well. This picture up on the right is of him with the other interns. If you notice, there's one at the top that you guys might recognize, Caleb. And at the bottom, that's just him, you know, showing off his guns. Keegan had amazing impact on an international student from Zimbabwe named Benji that we're going to be talking about later, along with a number of other young men in our ministry during his internship. God had clearly directed him to stay in Ephraim, which was a shock, I think, to all of us. And he's now going to attend Snow College for the next 2 years, studying nutrition and personal training, hence the guns. We're excited to see how God's going to use him with us in ministry. His dream is actually to open up his own business one day, offering holistic care for body, soul, and spirit. He could use your prayers as God's directing him and continues to grow and stretch him.
This is our daughter, Maris. We had her come up a second ago. Maris loves to be embarrassed. Maris played Powder Puff football this year, and she did quite well as a tackle. Broke her finger during the game and continued on, so she's got quite the rep at the school as being, you know, a tough gal. But
so she's officially a senior.
She is officially a senior this year. Give her a little hand on that. Interestingly enough, Maris is one of three girls in high school that are believers. There are no Christian boys in her high school. So through a guy that she met at a Bible camp, a young Christian friend, she was able to go to a couple of proms this year. And you can see those pictures there with Pastor Rodney's daughter as well. So she had a great time with that. Maris loves show choir. She is quite the theatrical individual. And she succeeded very well in the whole theater and show choir. This gal on her right is her really good friend, Sammy. She is a Mormon, and Sammy's over to our house quite a bit, and we enjoy her. But if you would, be praying for Sammy and her salvation, obviously. Lower picture on the left, something huge happened for Maris. She got her driver's license. So
and
Ephraim streets are
still alive.
You know, kind of like a ghost town when they see Maris's car coming up. Maris, obviously, her passion is theater. She was the improv director last year. She loves classical Shakespeare theater. She was the costume designer for the play Happy Days this year. This year, the Manti Templars won state in theater, and she was on that team. So congratulations, Maris, and that team. This year, we will have Maris obviously back again, but we're going to continue to have her as she goes on to study theater at Snow College. So we're going to have both of our kids here for the next 2 years, it looks like, before Maris goes on and transfers to maybe SUU to study costume design down there.
We're excited to have both of them with us, actually.
Yeah, this is a picture of our ministry team. There are seven of us. One has gone on, the gal in the middle with the red hair, Janice. She is going on to do bigger and better things. But this is the picture of us, the Thompsons on the left who started the ministry, us, Brittany in the gray sweater, and then our new addition, Chelsea and Jordan, great friends of ours now. This is a little slide showing our community. 98% Mormon where we live. That's our, you know, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or LDS. We are part of the half of a percent of evangelical believers in our county.
Do you think that this is a mission field?
Yeah.
It's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it?
Quite. Some of you have maybe seen these slides before, the picture of the state of Utah and our county. We live in an unreached people group, obviously. Luckily, God took us to a place where we didn't have to learn a language, but obviously there is some language issues if you have visited us. We battle that all the time, words getting different definitions. But praise God, there have been over 100 church plants in Utah in the last 10 years. Praise God.
Most of those are actually urban church plants, so we still have entire counties in the state of Utah that don't have any Christian presence. We actually meet people regularly who have never met a biblical Christian before. So there's still a huge need there. Please be praying that God would continue to bring Christians to Utah.
Yes. See, when I touch it, it doesn't work.
You gotta hit over there.
Oh, wrong son, okay.
So Tri-Grace Ministries, who we're with, it's the name of our missions organization, is divided into two types of ministry, evangelism being one and discipleship being the other. And we participate in all aspects of the ministry there. So equipping the saints is a large part of what we do, which is very different for a counter-cult ministry. We want to equip you to be able to reach the unsaved, not just Mormons, but anyone that you come in contact with. We oversee the campus ministry there, which we'll be talking about in more in a minute. And then also we're the internship advisors and Mormon outreach, obviously. So, Tri-Grace holds training conferences at Bible colleges and churches. So we'll actually be talking about doing that here in July over in Westfield. And we produce a number of resources for Christians. So our website is trigrace.org, and you can go there to find all kinds of materials. This is just a picture of the resources page. And everything on there, except for we have a Witnessing to Mormons in Love scrapbook. How many of you have seen or have used the Mormon scrapbook before? Well, we have a new edition now that actually links to all of our tutorial videos and all of our visual aids. And so that is now actually being offered on our website.
Yeah, you can go on and see us role-playing the different visual aids, which helps a lot.
So that's actually why Caleb came out on his internship, is he helped us put all those video tutorials together, which are very professional looking.
Yes.
Thank you,
Caleb. Kim and I are responsible for the campus ministry at Tri-Grace. Snow College is a small community college, about 3,600 people. Just because geography, it's a state school, but because of where we're at, it's obviously 95%, you know, LDS or Mormon.
Go ahead.
What do we got?
Oh, music is a special area of emphasis at Snow. It's tied actually to Juilliard Music School in New York, so we get a lot of music students coming in, and that's a four-year program. Although it's two-year school, that four-year program and also a four-year nursing program is going on there, so we get to get some students for 4 years. And they are considered the Badgers, and so we are always like, go Badgers. It's really, really awesome because right down the street from us, we have the campus right behind us. You can walk out our back door and be on campus. But the football field is just to the, what would that be? Southwest,
northeast.
I don't know what that is. Anyway.
Bless your heart.
Totally wrong direction. I'm the technical one. Anyway, in the fall, we actually get to hear the marching band on the weekends, and in the evenings, we get to hear the football players over there.
College campus is just a cool place to live. It really is.
We really enjoy it. So on our college campus, we actually have a lot of international students, and we have an ESL, or an English as a Second Language program, that's really large for the size of our school. So we actually have about 120 international students on our campus. We have people coming in from all over the world that God is bringing to us that we get to share the Lord with. So we have Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Catholics, atheists, agnostics, all kinds of different individuals that are interesting to get to know and build bridges with. So here are just a few of our students. This is Hamad, and he is from Saudi Arabia. This is Moses. He is from the Congo. Gemma, and she is from Zimbabwe. Benji, he's also from Zimbabwe. Sayeti, she is from Japan. Mohammed, he's from Saudi Arabia. Joel, he is from the Congo. Shaheen, he is from the Jordan. Mary, from the Congo. Moha, from Saudi Arabia. Aisha, from Palestine. Mazen, from Saudi Arabia. And also Fustel, who is from the Congo. So you can see all of these students we're getting to know. We're having them to our house. We take them camping. Yeah, we went camping with 13 Congolese students who had never unzipped a tent before.
Quite interesting.
So you can only guess where they love to hang out. For those of you who know anything about our ministry,
they love our cafe.
Their favorite place to hang out is at the Solid Rock Cafe. The Solid Rock Cafe is our ministry center. It is on the southwest corner of campus.
Very good, honey.
Shane is the manager of Solid Rock Cafe. It's a Christian coffee shop on the corner of Snow College's campus. The reason that that's a buzz is because in Mormonism, they're forbade to drink coffee or tea. So we're kind of the fringe, and it's the misfit toys and the seekers who come to our facility. And if they come in, other than seeking coffee, what Shane calls the nectar.
Can I get a witness?
They are coming in there knowing that we will talk with them about spiritual things and that they won't be judged. And that's a very big thing in our culture.
It is huge.
Not only does Shane train baristas, he manages all aspects of the cafe.
Somebody's learning to froth.
God prepared Shane for this cafe ministry by working in his mom's restaurant and by running his own business. God has a reason for everything in your life. You don't know why you've done what you've done, but he does, and he will put it into practice. And he is the perfect person for the job God's given him. It's not something I would want to do, and we always talk about the cafe being a milk cow because it's something you're constantly having to go and take care of. This is our dairy farmer. He also oversees our outreach activities at the cafe, such as open mic night, which is a big hit because of the music connection with Snow College. Also, Tuesday tea at 2, which is where we offer free tea and free grandma's.
Anything free baked for college
goods.
Students, right?
Okay. Yep. Anything free. They're there. We also host art shows in the cafe. And we have other outreach events that some of you are probably familiar with, like tie-dye day. So those are just some of the things that we do. It's moving on through the slides. Okay. I've actually been the advisor of the Christian Club on campus since we arrived in Utah. The Solid Rock Christian Club is similar to familiar groups like Campus Crusade for Christ or InterVarsity. It's just a smaller version. Our primary outreach to the campus is by providing this weekly Bible study at the cafe. We generally have 1 to 2 new visitors a week. When we started 5.5 years ago in Utah, we had 3 Christians on campus, and we now have around 15. So the numbers are increasing.
Praise the Lord.
Since we're the only Christian group on campus, we try to participate with other campuses and their Christian groups, and InterVarsity is one that we're really, really active with. It's been a great time to fellowship with other Christians because we're kind of secluded. Just so that you understand, we're 1.5 hours away from civilization. There is no mall any closer than that. We have a Walmart, McDonald's, Subway, and Little Caesars.
Little Caesars.
So, in 2014, God began answering my prayers for help by bringing Brittany Thompson to our ministry to take over the graphic design and the web design. She stepped right in and she gladly took the baton. She's an amazing blessing to all of us in our ministry. I know that she came and visited a few months ago, and that was a huge blessing to her. Thank you for loving on her.
Last fall semester, our newest team members, Jordan and Chelsea Rittmeyer, came from Texas to be part of our college ministry. They are directly underneath us, so they are taking over a lot of the teaching of the Bible study, a lot of the events that go on campus. They head those up. We are actually more like parents and aunts and uncles for their kids. Them being a young couple with two young kids, it's an awesome opportunity for us to relieve them and give them an opportunity to plug into college students' lives and disciple while we're babysitting. They're out, you know, having fun and stuff, but we're glad to do that for them. I don't know if you guys know these faces.
Are you guys here?
Are they here today?
Come on up.
Step up, please. This is Ned and Sarah Fennell, and these guys, as you all probably know, were in our ministry premarital status. And
God knew that our ministry had grown so rapidly over the last 6 years that we needed one last couple to round out our team. And these are them.
These are them.
So these two lovebirds with another on the way, they did meet in our ministry. Obviously later, Shane actually flew out to Indiana and married them. And they've just made the big announcement this week to the public world that they will be coming and joining us. So they are just at the very beginning of their support raising process. So they're going to be here for you guys to talk to afterwards. Please do ask them all kinds of questions, because we're personally really looking forward to them coming.
Yes, we are. So. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Love you guys.
Love you, too. These guys are a huge, huge, huge addition to our team. We appreciate them very much.
Sarah, if you don't know, is a coffee guru. She's kind of the coffee Nazi. And so she's coming to help Shane co-manage the cafe, which will be a great asset. And Ned is going to be our facilities manager, which is a huge thing. We have a lot that needs caring, and we just kind of squeeze it in and don't do a really good job of it. So he'll be doing that, and then they, too, will be helping with the students and the
interns. Teaching and discipleship, yes, yes, yes. Well, these are three individuals that are dear to our hearts. Despite the growth in our ministry, we both still dedicate a ton of our time to mentoring college students, and these are the three of them. As a matter of fact, on Easter, I had the great opportunity to baptize these three, and you can see the guy on the left just about dragged me down to Davy Jones's locker. He's a monster, big, huge guy, but we love Benji. Keegan and he have a great relationship, and we appreciate what he's done through in our ministry. So be in prayer for him. Each one of these guys, Benji, Katie, and Savannah, awesome young people. The two girls are both ex-Mormon, so one's from Illinois, one's from Salt Lake City. So
all three came to know the Lord in our ministry, so that's a huge...
huge blessing for us.
Praise to God. So.
We have a couple of videos of those guys, Benji and Savannah. See if it'll play. Cross your fingers.
Let's just hope. Okay. Come on, Benji. Oh, nope. Let me back up.
Try Grace Ministries.
There is.
Where to begin? Just the atmosphere. Yeah. Just the atmosphere of being in there. It's just it's really different compared to the whole town, the whole state of Utah. I just walk in the cafe and I'm like, I'm home. And I'm like, Christians, brothers, sisters, give me a hug and some coffee. Thanks. It was just perfect.
I'm just really grateful for just how there's always been someone to go to, and you always know that you're loved and being supported, and just the environment that they created in Ephraim, especially it being in the heart of Utah and everything, just all around all these LDS people and everything that's going on, and people who think so differently and just really need our love and help and guidance, support and everything. It's just been really fantastic. I mean, that semester where I had discovered Tri-Grace and really the cafe and church and everything, I grew probably the most in my entire time in Ephraim, which was 2 years. I grew totally the most there because it was just such a nurturing environment with such knowledgeable people who were ready to support you and counsel you and just help you grow spiritually. They have devoted their entire lives to helping us as college students. And really, we have a lot of stuff that we go through, but they just, you know, make it their life to help us, which is, you know, leading by such a great example. It's actually inspired me even to try to even consider moving back to Ephraim with my entire family, just based on the fact that there's just such a really good church there and a really fantastic community of believers. It's, if anything, so odd that in the heart of Utah there's that light which is so bright, shining so brightly and just so awesome. It's awesome. Keep it up. I love you guys.
Great, great dude. Great dude. He's looking at going into apologetics at Biola.
Switched his major after coming to know the Lord. And this is Savannah.
Hi, my name is Savannah Anderson. I attended Snow College the past 2 years, and I was saved 2 years ago. If I could pinpoint a moment, it was 2 years ago at a trilogy conference for the colleges in Utah and Idaho. I was raised LDS. I got out of the church. As soon as that happened, I started getting into drugs and alcohol and not fun stuff. And I kind of was atheist for a while, didn't believe that there was a God at all. And then I went to a Christian church for about a year before I came to Snow. And the church there was very much a Sunday church. Like, all the goers that I knew at least were, they just went on Sundays. And they lived the rest of their week however they really wanted to. And when I finally got to Ephraim, and I found a Christian church, Ephraim Church of the Bible, and I met Kim and Shane and Jamie and Chip and a lot of college students that were my age that were Christians, and just was able to talk to Kim and tell her my background. And it's been such a long process, but I don't know what I would do without Shane and Kim. I literally call Shane Papa Shane because he's like my dad. And Kim has been more of a mom to me than I know, mentoring me and showing me what Christians are supposed to do. They're not supposed to live their life for themselves and then live their life for Jesus only on Sundays. And I really respect them for helping me through this and everything. It's been an amazing 2 years. I'm really sad it's over, but without the cafe to go to when I'm tempted and go hang out with Christians, I don't know where I would be. If I had to struggle with anything, they were there. Thank you for supporting them. They very much need it. They need it, and their ministry is doing so much. So, thank you, I guess.
She's a great, great kid. You can see a lot of these kids become our children. I mean, they're not only great friends as peers, but Awesome young believers.
So we also oversee the internship programs. These are interns who actually come from Bible colleges and who are actually having an interest in full-time ministry. They come each summer and each semester, or even for the full school year or through summer. We accept students that have completed 2 years of college and who are exploring the idea of full-time ministry. And we're looking for servant hearts and missionary mindsets. So if that's you, or if it's somebody that you know, you can click on the internships tab at trygrace.org, or you can just talk to me and learn more about that. We love these guys. This is one of them. Her name is Mel.
Hey there. My name is Mel. I'm originally from Erie, Pennsylvania, and went to Moody Bible Institute in Spokane. And that's actually where I had learned about the TriGrace Ministries. I had applied for an internship, and when I Skype interviewed with Kim and Shane, I knew that I would love them. When I got here, they pretty much right off the bat picked me as one of their own kids, or at least treated me as one of their own kids. They invited me to go down to St. George with them and some family friends as a pre-start of the school year mini getaway. That close relationship they started with me did not stop once the internship really got going either. I met with Kim every week as she was my intern director. During that time, we discussed life and boys and ministry and eating habits and boys and marriage and sin and boys. She spoke deeply into my heart often with words of encouragement, hope, and some much-needed correction, and the word, always pointing me to Christ and Christ-likeness. And even after my internship was over, Shim and Kane, which is what we would accidentally call them all the time, they continued to play a big role in my life. My now husband and I learned a ton from them in our premarital counseling. It was so easy to listen to their guidance, glean from their wisdom, hear what the Word teaches about marriage, and learn how to imitate their successful marriage. And even after our marriage counseling was over and being married now for almost a year, they are still loving my husband and I like crazy by giving much needed advice on buying a home and even accepting the position of nanny and papaw to our soon to be born baby boy. I'm not sure if I would have survived very well living in Utah had Kim and Shane not been the ones to pour into my life during my internship, and even now as a pregnant married woman. I am sorry that you guys had to lose them, Indiana, but I'm very grateful that you let them go.
We love those guys. They're awesome. Our day-to-day life is spent, obviously, reaching Mormons with the gospel. Every day in the cafe is an opportunity to share Christ in people's lives. We can say easily that we have the most exciting job on the world, so you guys can't have our job. We're going to keep it. This is something that I had a great opportunity to pour into. God gave me an opportunity to be a wrestling coach for the last 3 years, something that allowed me to get plugged into people's lives in the community, and also young high schoolers that would go on to be college students. After evaluating this, each year completing it, I've stepped down from this position. It's been a great ministry opportunity, but we see that it's taken me away from, some family things and some ministry things. But we're going to, continue to see if we can get plugged in, but just not at the head coaching level. But praise God that He allowed me to do that. And I still get texts, even as early as yesterday, as recent as yesterday, from wrestlers that I still have connections with and pouring into. And, hey, why don't you try this church down in Phoenix? Instead of going to the LDS church, go to this Christian church. So, very cool.
So during college spring breaks, we host 5 to 6 mission teams from different schools, and we train them on Mormonism, and we perform evangelistic outreaches on Snow College campus, going to BYU, which is Brigham Young University, and also at the Salt Lake City Temple Square. So we have a lot of polygamous communities in our area also, and so we do go and visit them and share the love of Christ.
We also host over 200 Christians. A lot of you have probably heard of the Manti pageant that we do in June. That is coming up. We have 75,000 Mormons that come to this event, and we are able to engage them publicly, and sometimes nicely, and sometimes not so nicely. But be in prayer for us. That's something that we are going home to get prepared for, and it'll be 8 nights of awesome opportunities to pour gospel out and be a light in that community.
From what I understand, there was a group that was hoping to come from Harbor Shores this year, but it wasn't going to be possible, so that is, I think, on the docket for next year. So if that's something that you are interested in doing, which you really need to do this.
Yes, you need to come.
You need to see Caleb Blair here in the front and talk to him about that. I'm sure that there would be details coming underway for that.
Carmel Temple opening. Has everybody seen the Carmel Temple over at 116th and Spring Mill? Raise your hand. Okay. That is what is facing us in July. July 17th, they will open up the doors, and everybody will have the opportunity, as a non-member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, to walk through that, which is almost a once-in-a-lifetime thing for most of you. So we encourage everybody, if you get that invite from a friend, a doctor, a teacher, a neighbor, whoever who is LDS, offering tickets, grab those tickets. If not, there will be an opportunity to go online and grab their free tickets. But we want all believers to go through that, experience that, and have the opportunity to share with the Mormon missionaries there at the temple opening.
Understanding that the people who will be taking you on tour are Mormon. The people who are on tour with you are either seekers or Mormons or Christians who don't know that Mormons aren't Christian. So we need you to be a light. That's what you're called to do, and we want you to walk through that, praying over it as you go.
Yes, for sure. Main elements of the outreach that we're going to be doing in July, we're going to be doing an 8-page spread in the current newspaper, Carmel specific, hopefully Westfield and Zionsville. We'll also be doing a DVD distribution. We have about 10,000 DVDs we're going to spread in the community in Carmel. We're going to be doing a demonstration of 34 live women dressed up in prairie dresses, period time, 1800s, and showing the wives that Joseph Smith actually had while he was living.
A lot of Mormons don't know that is even in part of their history.
That's correct.
They think that Joseph had one wife.
We are also going to be showing a Mormon racism demonstration. The scriptures, the Book of Mormon, has some very interesting things to say about people with darker skin, and you'd be quite alarmed to hear what Brigham Young said about people of color as well. So we'd like to expose some of those racist doctrines. We also have a former Mormon bishop that will be coming from Utah, a great speaker, has a lot of experience from being within the church, and he's going to be there to answer questions from anybody wanting to know what it's like to be a leader in that church.
And he and his wife are both believers.
That's correct. Awesome. We also are going to have a temple guide distribution where we can use a lot of you people to sign up and actually hand those out. So we will have an email going out tomorrow where you can sign up for that. And we also have a billboard on 465 that will direct people to information regarding what happens in temples, temple doctrine, Mormonism, that sort of thing. And you can see the play on the Ancestry.com, which is an LDS genealogy website. So, Ancestry Worship.
So these are the areas that you can participate.
Yep. Taking temple tours, as we mentioned. Meal ministry, we're going to be there probably from 10 until 8, depending on, I've heard things that maybe they're going to even open up at 8 o'clock. I just heard that this morning. So it's going to be some long days, and Jane Wagner is going to help us with a meal ministry. So
mom,
if you would
you
like
up?
To... Jane, would you stand up?
If you don't know my mom, that's my mom.
We need you to get plugged in on this because we're going to be hungry. Just kidding. Prayer ministry,
We would like to have as many people as possible praying for this outreach. So there's going to be an opportunity to pray for increments during the time of the outreach. So as many of those as we can get would be wonderful. We need about 19 more women for the 34 wives demonstration. And there are different age groups that we need. So there will be that email I talked about a second ago for you ladies to go on. We'll provide the dresses and the bonnets. All you'll need to do is show up and stand around.
Actually, Harbor Shores is providing the bonnets. He might not know that. Hands for Missions is making them for us.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Like now. So we really appreciate you ladies for doing that. That's a huge blessing.
Yes, yes. So these elements are huge for this, and obviously we still have some financial support, and I hate to money grub, but this is an expensive thing for our ministry, and there's just no way that we can pull off flying our whole ministry team here, getting, you know, housing for everything. A lot of things have been provided. The billboard's been provided. This church has provided the current
for the entire city of
newspaper
Carmel.
For the entire city of Carmel. So thank you, Harbor Shores. You guys are awesome. But if anybody has a heart to reach out for some of these smaller ticket items, distribution on things, we can certainly give you a list of things that you could look at and decide if you want to be involved in that further.
And then these are the students over the last 2 years who have come to know the Lord through our ministry. So God has been at work in Ephraim. We've had 10 students. It's been a huge blessing, and we consider these our kids. We get texts every day from some of these students asking biblical questions. As a matter of fact,
sometimes at 1 o'clock in the morning, like the other night.
Yeah, yeah. So down in the lower right-hand corner, Rachel is someone that I had mentioned on Wednesday night at the ladies' meeting for Hearts for Missions. And Rachel has accepted the Lord as of this week. So,
praise the Lord. Some of our prayer requests, of course, young believers. We have many, many people that once they come out, they struggle. So be in prayer for those people, Benji, Katie, Savannah, mm-hmm. Rachel now, just awesome people, and we need to be in prayer for them. Salvation for Brennan, one of my old wrestlers, graduated, was an assistant coach. I text with constantly.
He kind of has a man crush on Shane.
Man, we've gone head to head on so many times, and I'd love to see him come to the Lord. The Carmel Temple outreach obviously is huge during the month of July. Be in prayer for that and what your involvement might be right now. While we're getting ready to be prepared to go back to Utah, Manti Pageant is on our horizon. So, you know, tons of people that are going to hear the gospel on the streets. And also, always interns to be going to the website and signing up to do internships with us. That's a huge part of our ministry. And continue to pray now for Ned and Sarah and their support level. We need those guys out, and they'll be a great addition. And finally, campus ministry for this coming fall. That's the heartbeat of our ministry.
So, we have a guest we'd like you to meet. Come on up, Stormy.
This is Stormy. Stormy is a Utahan. I won't call her Utah-ed, but she is a Utah person. That's a joke for us Utah people. Grew up in our ministries, and she's got a great testimony and story to share with you.
It's cold up here.
Whoa. So, are you nervous, Stormy?
I am.
She's a little nervous. It's all right, so am I.
Can you give her that?
Let me give you this.
Okay, so okay. Stormy grew up in Utah as a Christian, and Wednesday night at the Hearts for Missions, she gave the second half of her story, which was about what it was like growing up in Utah as a Christian. And those ladies who were there Wednesday night, was it hard for her? Yeah, it was really hard. So now she's going to give the first half of her story, which really incorporates her mom and dad. So this is Stormy when she was little.
Yes, that's me when I was probably about four.
So a lot has changed since then. So my parents, we'll start with my dad first. He was the youngest of 9 children. His mom, my grandma, married a non-LDS man, which is a big no-no, especially if you want to go further later on after you pass away, especially for a woman. You have no chance if you are not married to a temple-worthy man. So she kept trying to get him to convert. He wouldn't, so one day he got tired, and he was a truck driver and got into his truck and left. My dad was probably about 3 years old. My dad didn't know his dad until he was probably about 14. In that time, he was teased and ridiculed and just picked on by all the LDS friends and neighborhood kids and his brothers and sisters. He actually went further and started hanging out with the riffraff crowd, as he would say it, and he got into alcohol and drugs, and he kind of was a hippie. So looking at pictures of him when he was younger, he has the long hair, big beard, and so fast forward to when he meets my mom. This is when their stories kind of collide. So now I will go to my mom's story. My mom, she was raised in a Mormon home. We don't know who her biological dad is. So she was adopted. Her family still does not know that she was adopted. So I get all the time, "You look just like our family." But really, I'm not biologically theirs. So she was raised in the Mormon church and taught at a young age that Satan and Jesus were brothers. Yeah. Yeah. So there was a council, and the Council of the Gods, to decide the salvation for this planet. This is what she was taught. And so Jesus gave his plan, and Satan or Lucifer gave his. Jesus is the one that wanted our world to be how it is. Satan wanted it to be perfect with no free will, and just basically we all worship worship God, Heavenly Father. Father. Mm-hmm. So my mom, she lived in an abusive home. She was abused and all kinds of horrible things. And so in her little mind, she was also taught, you chose the family you came to. So in her mind, she was like, okay, Heavenly Father, he had a good plan. Lucifer had a good plan, but Jesus, he did not have a good plan. Because look where it got me. Why would I choose this family?
Just to throw in a little bit of statistics here, her mother being sexually abused is not at all rare in the state of Utah. The national average for females being sexually abused is 1 in 6. In Utah, it's 1 in 3. For males, in national average is 1 in 33. In Utah, it's 1 in 5. So that's the sexual abuse. Our prison system, the population is 12% sex offenders nationally. In Utah, it's 20%. So that just gives you an idea that this is not an unusual
thing. And so she was really lost. She was still getting abused at home. So she actually ran away at the age of 16. She went to Oakland, California, where she lived on the streets. And there she was sucked into the occult because of her upbringing of who Satan was. And she was also taught growing up that if you knew how great hell was, you'd kill yourself to get there.
Heaven. How great heaven was.
Oh, yeah.
Whoops.
Oops.
The lowest heaven.
Yes, the lowest heaven. Yes. Basically hell for us because God, Heavenly Father, doesn't coexist there. So it is basically hell.
So what she just said really attributes to the suicide rate in Utah. It's extremely high. Someone in Utah commits suicide every 28 hours. A teen will do so every 11 days. So from ages 35 to 44, male suicide is the leading cause of death in the state. Ages 15 to 24, female suicide is the second leading cause of death. We all know people who have committed suicide. So
So let's see. My mom, probably about 3 years before I was born, my cousin was hit and killed. He was 16 months old. And that rocked my mom's world. And she really started seeking God at that point. And God had been showing her things. And she said, only by the grace of God can you get out of the occult. Because once you get in deep, you just can't get out. And so God really started working in her life. And this is where my parents' life kind of come into. So my mom had started going to this Baptist church in Provo, which at the time there was probably maybe 2 Christian churches in Provo. Now we have quite a few. Mm-hmm. So she started going. She accepted the Lord, but it took her about a year completely to get out of the occult because it's very entangled of renouncing things and all of that stuff. But she had been talking about my dad. This is where my dad's story comes back in.
Can I interject one thing?
Yes.
Regarding the occult, it is not uncommon for Mormons to intertwine the occult with their Mormon religion.
Where we live.
As a matter of fact, I had some statistics. In the 1980s, the Utah News reported that over 800 children in the Wasatch Front area, which is Salt Lake City area, that valley, were involved with ritualistic and occult rituals, including child sacrifices. That was in the 1980s.
Which my mom did not take part of.
No, her mom did not take part of. However, her mom is aware of child sacrifices.
So, let's see. So my dad's story, he was out. This is where my dad came to know the Lord. He was out gardening, and he had flooded the garden, so it's easy to pull the weeds. Because in Utah, our soil is really hard. And so he had wetted the dirt, and he was pulling the weeds, and he said all of a sudden he looked up and he saw a pair of white shoes and white dress pants, and he goes, huh, and he looks up and there was this man standing there in a 3-piece white suit with white shoes, and he said, I felt like God wanted me to come talk to you. And my dad goes, well, I'm kind of busy, so you can go inside the house if it's that important, and I will come and talk to you after I'm done. You can go just talk to my wife. So he goes back to weeding, and he says, he glances up and he sees a pair of bare feet standing in the mud. This pastor from the Baptist church had rolled up his pant legs, took off his shoes, and got in the mud and started pulling the weeds and telling my dad about Jesus. And that shook my dad's world, and he stopped and he said, this man who you speak of must be incredibly important for you to risk getting yourself dirty to tell me about him. Let's go inside and listen. So he went inside and he heard about the love of Jesus and he accepted the Lord. I was born in there somewhere, not quite sure exactly where I fit, but I just know that from the time I was little, my mom and my dad always said that they tried to have children, they couldn't. And so they prayed, and she said that they had asked God if they gave them a child that they would do their best to raise them up in his ways. And so
Stormy is our beautiful result.
Stormy.
I'm gonna read your poem. Stormy writes poems, and so if you ever want to get onto her blog.
I really don't share my poems on my blog, only pieces.
Okay.
So if you ever want an actual full poem, you have to write and ask me to send it to you because I'm very closed with my poems because they're very personal. So this one is actually something I wrote right after, probably a month or so after I really surrendered my life again to Christ. At the end of my Snow College time. Mm-hmm. So with the picture, I was raised, and just kind of my light went out living in Utah because I was the only Christian. So here's my poem. Okay. I sit with a shamed heart. I look upon what I hide. With a tearful cry, I don't know how you could ever love me, my Savior. I did not trust you in the moment of despair. I turn to a different solution and entertain those thoughts that were rolling through my mind. I turn to hiding away and not only you, my first love, but also those around me. How could you or anyone love me for who I really am? And that's when you, my Savior, met me in my moment of despair and disgrace. You loved all over me and lifted my shameful face upward. A moment forever etched within me, for my Savior and best friend met me on my kitchen floor and held me and let me weep the hurt and emotions, showing me a saving grace that none could compare with, one who took all my dirty rags of shame and sin and made them clean and white as snow. He did not turn from me based on my rags, instead embracing me even harder. The saving grace and forgiveness I found while sitting on my kitchen floor compares to nothing that I've tried to fulfill the pain and brokenness of my heart. Today I'm ready to start to let go and trust, for these strongholds have no hold on me that the saving grace of my Savior can't shatter. So today I'm on the path that God chose for me. However painful the refiner's fire is my process, that my God has chosen to heal me. And one day when I stand before him, I'll be perfect and blameless, not by what I could ever do, but through Christ's light shining through me. And that's what will be seen. So for now, the one thing I have to give is the life that I have taken for granted, the life he gave so much to save. My Lord, here are my struggles and reproaches. Please, Lord, I'm praying for the strength to leave these things on the altar. So many times I've placed these upon the altar and returned and picked them back up and placed them upon my burdened shoulders. Please, Lord, give me the strength to leave them at your feet, for you have already taken them upon the cross so I could be set free. With you, my Savior, I can do all things. So with you holding my hand, I know that I can make it through. Along the way, I'll keep praising you, my Savior and best friend. Thank you for never forsaking me. Even in the moments I pushed you away, you kept loving me and pursuing me, for you knew that one day I would return to you, my first love. So with these simple words, I hope, my Lord, you can feel the gratefulness of my healing heart and spirit, for one by one my chains are falling and my hands are raising to praise you. I'm being set free and my spirit is rejoicing. So that was my poem that I wrote at the end of that. And God has done a work.
Stormy is a different person than who we knew 5.5 years ago. And it's all completely God transforming her into a new creation. If you have a chance to talk with Stormy, I know that would really encourage her in her trip out here.
I just have a verse.
Okay, one verse.
I just want to end with a verse. I always like to end.
Mm-hmm.
So I shared this verse on Wednesday night as well. It's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the faith and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's not my life that I live, it's his.
Awesome. Thank you. So this took a lot of courage for Stormy to come up and do this. And I want to ask you a favor, okay? Stormy has been judged in the past by Christians and non-Christians for the past of her parents. And I'm just asking you to love on her and give her compassion and encourage her, because the life that her parents lived is not her life. And God's given them all a new life. Their identities are now in Christ. And it says that we are a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. So we want you guys to love and embrace her and not hold all of that ick behind on her. So
good job, Stormy.
Thanks.
So because we started late, we don't have a lot of time for questions. We have like 1 minute for questions, I think. So I don't.
Does anybody have a super question? Yep, you're ready to go on to the next. Yep, you're done with us. Okay. Anyone? Okay. Thank you. Oh, here we go.
One right
yes.
Here. Sure. Charlotte will be sending an email out to Harbor Shores tomorrow, and it will have a number of links in it for Google spreadsheets where you can click on the link and you can go learn about the different opportunities that you could be involved with. One of those is just signing in and saying, hey, we're planning to go on a temple tour on this day so that we can have Christians there every day, not just on Saturday.
Correct.
And there is a link there that will take you to where you can get your free tickets reserved. It'll be, I think, July 3rd maybe is when those tickets go, not for sale, but
public. Yeah.
Public. However, if you know Mormons who you're friends with, they may also be inviting you and offering to just get you tickets. So there's kind of those two ways that you can get tickets. Yes. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes, thank you. We are doing a two-day training seminar on the 13th and the 14th, a Monday and Tuesday evening at Cornerstone Bible, which used to be Centennial, over in Westfield. And that'll be from 6:30 until 9, those two evenings. And everybody here is obviously welcome to come, and it will be more training on doctrine and beliefs of that church.
And how to witness to Mormons, and
correct.
That will also be in the email that goes out tomorrow.
Yes. Okay. Pastor Steve? You're cold?
Yes.
You're crying about being cold. I mean, come on, Storm.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Stephen.
Hey, we want to just express our appreciation for Shane and Kim and Dorsey, Stormy.
Dorsey is her last name.
Yes, exactly. and before we close in prayer, so let's express our appreciation to them. The Missions Council will be meeting with them this afternoon and getting more updates and hearing more of how we can support them and how they can continue to grow that ministry. It was a privilege last fall I'm on the board there at Tri-Grace, to go out and hear not only what God is doing through them, but through that full ministry. It is truly, truly a blessing. God is at work in central Utah, and we give God all the glory and honor and praise for that. We're going to close in prayer and then we'll be dismissed, and we'll meet back here in about 12 minutes for our morning worship. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you. Thank you for your work in this world and how you use the people of God, how your plan integrates people and personalities to go and to proclaim Christ and to display Christ throughout the world. And I pray this morning that you would continue to bless the work that is happening in Ephraim, Utah. We pray for the Joneses. We pray for Stormy and the many others who are faithfully living and proclaiming Christ there in Ephraim. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue that work in a mighty way, but also that this summer you might use them to encourage us to step into ministry, to serve in ways that we may not have anticipated serving previously. And may you rescue the perishing and to encourage saints through this ministry there and here this summer. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.